It is just afternoon here at 90.3 The Core, and it is 12:02 to be exact, and we are here in the midst of Alumni Day at RLC. We are celebrating 35 years of RLC's existence, and we have people here from all over the course of the station's history. From the 70s, we have the guy who started the station, the guys who started the station, who built the station initially, up through today, up through the even some current students here. So we have the full history of RLC represented here today at the station, and that's very exciting. And I'm Rob Bertrand, by the way. I suppose that I should mention my name, identify myself, as it were. I am the station advisor and the chief engineer here, and I'm going on 10 years, which is way too long to have been here. And I've seen a lot of people come and go over that time, and it's really been a great thing. But one of the people that I met during my time here was somebody named Seth DeVorin, who was a DJ here in the late 90s. We both went here to Livingston together. And he is not with us today because he served our country in Iraq and was tragically killed while disarming a bomb. Seth's mother was interviewed on Democracy Now!, heard here on 90.3 The Core on September 20th, this past fall. And between her and Amy Goodman, they more or less tell Seth's story. So we wanted to take some time today during Alumni Day, where we are saluting the people past and present who have made this station what it is, to pay tribute to Seth, to his contributions to the station and to our country. So we go now to this clip from Democracy Now! On September 20th, 2004.
Here on Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Police have dropped charges against the mother of a slain U.S. soldier. She was arrested on Thursday when she interrupted a speech by First Lady Laura Bush. At the rally, Sue Niederer of Hopewell, New Jersey, wore a T-shirt that read, "President Bush, you killed my son." The shirt bore a picture of her son, Army Lieutenant Seth DeVorin, who was killed in February while trying to disarm a roadside bomb. He was 24 years old. Sue Niederer interrupted the First Lady to ask why her son was killed in Iraq. She was quickly boxed in by Bush supporters, who began chanting, "Four more years." Secret Service agents surrounded her and escorted her away. Once outside, she began speaking to reporters about what she said to interrupt Laura Bush. Soon after she was talking to those reporters, Sue Niederer was handcuffed, placed in a police van, and charged with trespassing. The charges against her have been dismissed. Sue Niederer joins us on the phone from Hopewell, New Jersey. Welcome to Democracy Now!
Good morning, and thank you.
It's good to have you with us. Can you tell us what happened Thursday?
You did a very good synopsis of what happened, except the fact that when surrounded, the pushing and shoving by her Secret Service and the indecency of her supporters shoving the police cards in my face and not allowing me to walk out as I stated I would on my own was just the same thing that I would have was what I expected out of the Bush campaign. No tolerance. You cannot have your own freedom of speech. Do not speak out. When stating my question to Laura Bush, which was basically the fact of why aren't your children, congressmen, senators, legislators, why aren't any of them serving in the armed forces overseas if this is such a justified war and a war on terrorism that you feel that we are winning? Even though, you know, this is a volunteer army, why don't they volunteer to go serve their country in a time of its great need if this war is a war that they voted for and they feel is justified and proper?
Let's go to the videotape of you're addressing reporters outside of Laura Bush's speech on Thursday.
My two questions were, one, why are no congressmen, legislators, senators, and or George Bush's children serving in this war? And please do not insult me by saying this is you have to enlist. If they thought this was a war that was justified, they would have their children over serving in Iraq. That was question number one. Number two is a very simple question. Where is the exit strategy to get us out of Iraq?
That was Sue Niederer on Thursday. What was the response outside of the classic, and they did this at the Republican National Convention as well, each time someone protested, people would surround the protester, the delegates, and start chanting four more years and cover them with pro-Bush signs. But was there anyone who voiced sympathy for you?
Yes, there was a gentleman in there who, ironically, speaking to in general, and his son and my son served together. And as they were physically taking me out of the rally, this gentleman said, "What are you doing? Why are you taking her out? She is a mother." He was the only gentleman that stood up basically for me.
Can you tell us a little about your son, Seth Dvorin? Why did he go into the military?
How did he go into the military? He had been recruited from when he was in high school. And the recruiter kept on him through college and finally got him with his wonderful salesmanship, his lies, his deception. And the statement that gets me the most is the fact of Seth had said that since he was going in and would be going to office at candidate school rather than just going in on the lowest level, the recruiter stated to him, "Officers don't see the front lines if there is a war." Now remember, Seth joined when there wasn't any war or any thought of a war. Well, my son was killed on the front line, taking the bomb for the 18 men that he saved. So yes, he is a hero. The recruiters are a bunch of wonderful salesmen who lie and deceive the young and the innocent.
Your son wanted to go into the CIA or FBI?
That's correct. That's what he really wanted, and his recruiter said this would be a very good way for him to gear himself up and would look wonderful on his resume to become an FBI or a CIA agent.
Now, you asked your son to get the promises of the recruiter in writing?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I said to him, "Seth, you know, they're promising you the world, and my feeling is it's salesmanship." And I said, "Seth, I want to see the papers before you sign them. I want to take them to an attorney, and I want to have them read." He went back to his recruiter, asked him for the papers, and his recruiter basically said to him, "Does your mother wear your pants? Sign on the dotted line. It's embarrassment." And my son signed.
When was the last time you spoke with your son or received a letter from him or email?
Well, we got a voicemail from him the day, about a day or two before he was killed, and he said he had written a letter, and we received that letter right after, about a week after he was killed. And the most horrifying portion of that is, in that letter he said, "Mom, Dad," which is my husband Greg, he said, "I want to go to where you and Dad got married in the park, and propose to Kelly in the proper manner and get married in the park because, Mom, I really thought it was one of the most beautiful weddings, and I want to do the same thing for Kelly." And that just broke my husband and I into crying and tears. We just broke down when we read that letter.
How did your son respond to your opposition to the invasion and the war?
How did he didn't. He had already been deceased.
Had you been active at all before?
No, I had expressed my opinions to my son.
Right, and how did he respond to those?
At the very beginning when he went over from September to the middle of October, he said to me, "Mom, we are making progress here. I feel that we're doing something proper. So your thoughts and your fears are incorrect. Middle of October, his letters started changing, and I started to ask him, "What's going on?" His answer to me was, Mom, I cannot tell you. Shut up. Leave me alone. I never found out until after Seth was killed the reason why his letters started to change. And it was a simple answer to this question. His job changed. He was now going out every single day looking for roadside bombs. This was their mission. And then when the last day we saw Seth at Baltimore Airport, I asked him, do you want to go back, son? His answer to me was, Mom, absolutely, positively not. We are making no headway in that country. It's a bunch of guerrillas. You don't know who your friends are. I don't want to go back, but I'm in charge of 18 men. I must go back to bring them home safely. He cried to my husband. He didn't let me see that. And he said to him, I don't want to go back, Dad. I don't want to go back. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I had said to Seth, I'll take him to Israel. Take him anywhere he wants to go. He refused. The brainwashing of the army and the services, camaraderie, and you have to be a person that sticks up for everyone else. It broke my heart to see my son kiss me goodbye and just have a gut feeling Seth was not going to return. Gut feelings mothers have. Mine turned out to be right.
Sue Niederer, I want to thank you for being with us and also to express our condolences to you from the whole staff at Democracy Now, and especially at this time during the new year that Jews observe around the world in this period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
That's correct. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I just hope people understand the reason I am doing what I'm doing is in the memory of my son, to bring our troops home safely and alive. That's my mission. That's what I need to do, because those were the last words of my son.
Sue Niederer lost her son, Seth Dvorin, in Iraq. She was arrested last week as she spoke out at a speech of the First Lady, Laura Bush. This is Democracy Now! When we come back, we're going to talk about
Alumni Day here at 90.3 The Core, RLC Radio in Piscataway, as we take a few moments to commemorate and remember Seth Dvorin, who graduated from Livingston in 2002. He graduated from South Brunswick High School in 1998, and after continuing his education at Livingston, he graduated with a B.S. in Administration of Justice in 2002. During his time at Rutgers, he was a DJ here at 90.3 The Core. Following in his father's footsteps, he went on to join the U.S. Army and started basic training not long after his college graduation in July of 2002. His father, Richard, graduated from Rutgers as well and went on to join the Air Force before beginning his career as a police officer. Seth also wanted to join the Air Force, but it had no officer candidate program, which was something he really wanted to pursue. Later, he had hoped to pursue forensic science with the state police, FBI, DEA, or Secret Service. Seth's aspirations of leadership took him to officer candidate school in January of 2003 and later continued his training in airborne school. In September of 2003, he was deployed to Iraq. His father, who lives in East Brunswick, said that Seth saw some pretty tough going in Iraq. Whatever missions he was assigned to, he did. He served his country, and he gave the ultimate. In true Livingston College fashion, Seth's mother, Sue Niederer, who we just heard on Democracy Now!, could not let her son's death be meaningless. As she sought an explanation for his death, Seth's face was soon seen as representing the over 1,000 members of our armed forces who will not return home. At this point, it's up over 1,500. During his time at Livingston College, Seth fell in love. He and fellow Rutgers graduate Kelly Harris were introduced by a mutual friend, Kate Montefiore. Seth and Kelly were married just 5 months before his untimely passing, a week before his deployment to Iraq. Seth's bravery, leadership, and dedication to his country are shining examples of what Livingston College strives to cultivate. We here at 90.3 The Core salute Seth for his heroism and mourn the passing of a member of our family. We will now take a minute from our broadcast day in silence to honor Seth. It's 12:17. This ends our segment honoring Seth DeVore in Livingston College, class of 2002, who was killed in Iraq in 2004. This is Alumni Day here at 90.3 The Core, and as we continue on, we break for a moment with an ID and return with Lynn Astorga and myself.
Hi, this is Officer Washington, Livingston Community Police Officer. You students stay safe and listen to 90.3 RLC WVPH-FM in Piscataway, The Core.